Hey, Cody.
Yeah, James.
Did you see that Kendrick Green signed a contract?
I did. Nah, he hasn't signed
a contract. Why?
I don't understand, man.
At least he's at practice every day.
True.
Welcome to the Steelers Battle League Podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you this fine summer evening?
Oh, James, I am fantastic. I appreciate you always asking. Your energy is unrivaled, my friend. Your intros, your energy, your excitement. You almost forgot your Mohawk hat today. Listen, you almost forgot to put it on.
It's a good thing we screwed up on the intro and we're doing it a second time, because now I've got the hat on for the whole show, even the intro.
It looked awkward.
And some of this energy is totally artificial thanks to Raise.
Little soft ad there. If you haven't tried Raise yet, try Raise. I'll give you the link. Just kidding.
But nobody really will.
Oh, man. So we have, again, obviously, we always start with Steelers by the Lake news for you guys. So, James, do you want to kick us off?
Of course I want to kick it off, and I'm going to kick it off with what I promise every time, and that's if you guys take care of us with a 5-star review, we'll take care of you with a shout-out on the show. So to our good friend of the podcast, ally of the podcast, day one supporter of the podcast,
Mr.
Nick Pretzel.
Night snack himself, Mr. Pretzel.
Delicious in many forms, you might say.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. So here's Nick's review for us. Cody and James do a great job of breaking down all things Steelers and even some things beyond. Definitely one of the most slept on podcasts out there. If you aren't listening, you're missing out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we wake you up? Good, because stop sleeping on the podcast.
That's right, man.
I did enjoy that. This is the most slept on podcast.
It's a fantastic review. Really appreciate it, Nick. You don't know how much that helps us.
And, absolutely. And
we appreciate it very much.
Moving on to new followers. We have new, specifically...
on Instagram,
yes,
bunch of new followers. We got some fan accounts, it looks like, starting to follow us. Seems to have something to do with Mr. Steelers Strong, who is one of them. Got a Ray McLeod fan page, Jalen Samuels fan page, Steelers fan of Germany, and also somebody you know there, Cody.
Yes, somebody I know. A buddy of mine made his Instagram page, and he calls it Bentley OnlyFans. If you want to see something funny, go look it up. I won't tell you anything more about it.
But it is PG.
It is very much PG. He made jokes with his wife about making an OnlyFans page. If you don't know what that is, please don't look it up. If you do, I'll explain. He's like, you can post these pictures however you want, and I'll always be eating food in the background. Well, she wasn't down for that, thankfully. and so he decided to make it his own thing. So it's really funny.
It's pretty funny.
It's humorous. Family-friendly humor. It is funny. So, yeah, thank you, Mr. Nate Bentley, for that follow. We appreciate it.
Also, on Podbean, got a like from PBG249. Appreciate liking that most recent episode.
Abso-freaking-lutely. And now it is time. We're going to go ahead and talk about a post that James posted on our Facebook page last week. Late last week, 3 days ago now. James, why don't you kick this off? Kick something else off. Here we go. So, I'm just going to start calling you Boswell.
Listen, I'm not running for president, but Bos for president all day. Listen, so every now and then we like to post some fun things and appreciate all interaction. And if you decide to give on that, the Facebook page is about 350 of you guys now. So fantastic. We love it. Simple question. The Steelers put out on their Facebook page, who's the biggest Steelers fan you know? So we then repeated that question to you folks to see exactly who would interact. We wanted to hear from you. First vote we got was from Tommy Kuna. Said, not Mike Dennington. He's a Fairweather fan. He's totally not. That was a joke.
Throwing people under the bus here. That's all.
Diehard fan, Mr. Mike Dennington. I'd vote for him too, honestly. Then Casey Wilson voted for himself. Says he eats, sleeps, and breathes Steeler football. Casey, we appreciate that.
Listen, Casey Wilson, I'm going to take a moment here. I'm looking at your Facebook page literally now as we speak. I see the black and gold shirt. You have a shirt posted that's all about the Steelers. I like it. All the posts I'm seeing so far are Pittsburgh, but however, you're from Alabama, my friend. Are you enjoying this Najee Harris signing? I need to know.
Gotta be.
I need to know,
it.
Man.
And having Minka on the team.
Oh, you love it.
And Isaiah Bugs. Holy, there's a lot of Alabama going on here, man.
I'm sure you like it as much as we do. We're not from Alabama. We're from Pennsylvania, but
good
we'll,
players.
We'll take
man.
Those Bama boys.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players coming out of Bama, no doubt. Then we had a couple people who voted for us. We don't qualify.
No. You have two people vote for you. Don't include me in that.
Well, listen, Mr. Van Ord was voting for you as well there.
I know.
But I'm disqualifying myself. There's no way I can qualify for this when I'm posing the question.
Why?
For the
No. You can qualify for this.
Oh, stop. That's not the
Who out of here is going to the Hall of Fame game just because there's so many Pittsburgh Steelers going to the Hall of Fame?
Listen, I got the tickets.
Don't, I just asked
before
you to answer.
I knew, though.
No, you didn't. Because last year there was going to be a lot of Steelers, guys. That was why you were originally going to get. We're moving on to the next thing.
I thought there was a chance Palomo was going to get in. But
we are moving on.
I paid for the tickets before I knew who was going in.
You knew.
Palomo was going in. He was going in first ballot. There was no doubt about it.
We're moving on now.
I didn't know about Bill Cowher and Donnie Shell and all the other gems now, though.
That's what he sounds like, guys.
Stop it.
Anyways, now it is time to talk about some Steelers news. The first thing we have to talk about is for our friend in Alabama. we're going to talk Minka Fitzpatrick.
That's right, man. Minka got interviewed. And he had some real kind things to say about James Pierre and Justin Lane.
Yeah, and that is exactly what we want to be hearing right now. With those guys being both locks, the locks on our team, our 53-man roster predictions, as the third and fourth guys, that's huge. If Minka is giving them praise, that means that they are at least doing something right, I mean, I would assume.
Yeah, they're showing up every day. They're going through the motions, at least. They're trying.
They're probably getting their hands on the ball a little bit.
Yeah, and Lord knows we really need some development from some of these young corners. In a year or two, it could be in a real bad position if one of these guys, or multiple, does not develop into starter-capable guys. And hearing a lot from other people as well that James Pierre is looking really good in camp so far. So it could be that we're looking at a situation here where Pierre is kind of leapfrogging Justin Lane as he did late in the year last year, becoming that number three corner on the team. Yep. Doesn't really look like he's a nickel or slot corner type. So I would guess that when they go into the nickel defense, you're probably going to see Cam Sutton scoot inside and Pierre play outside. And there you go. Unless one of these other guys can really, really impress, which there's plenty of time. You know, it's early on in the process.
Yeah.
But boy, is it refreshing to hear good things about these young corners.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're not too many years off of having just, you know, horrible play at the corner and safety position. And now we're getting to that point.
Yeah. I don't want to see Antoine Blake out there again, man. I cannot handle the thought of that caliber of corner play again.
No, but we're getting to that point now where our secondary is turning. Let me clarify. Our secondary is not better than our front seven, but our secondary is getting up there to not be a weak point on our team anymore. And that is a phenomenal thing. Because all the times that we would lose those close games or lose late games, it was because we were getting beat deep. And if that stops happening, that's going to be huge improvement for our team as a whole.
And just think about how Pittsburgh led the NFL in sacks the last 4 years in a row, right? Imagine with a higher level of corner play. Then the quarterback's forced to hang onto the ball even longer.
Or throwing worse passes.
Or yeah, so either you're getting more turnovers or more sacks. It's one or the other. Because realistically, the quality of pass rushing capability is not really going down.
I'm going to say something, James.
Yeah, go ahead.
Write this down. We want to have this on the date of the page. You wrote the date. Good. I am saying that Pittsburgh will be a top five defense. This year. Top five.
Now, are you saying top five in yardage allowed, points allowed?
Top five in every category.
Wow. All of them.
All of them.
Against the run, against the pass.
Yep.
Points allowed.
Yep.
Yardage allowed.
Yep.
All right.
Top five.
Turnovers.
In all of them.
Sacks.
All of them.
Touchdowns allowed.
Maybe not that one.
I hope not that one. Jeez.
But I'm going to say, I think the more realistic thing would say top 10, but I want to say right now that they're going to be top 5. I think with the skill that we've been developing, with the way we played even last year we were top 5 and probably all of those in the first 11 weeks.
I would say by the end of the year they were still top 5 in turnovers, because I know they were one of the top teams through most of the year, although the turnovers tailed off.
Yep.
And they obviously won the sack crown, so we know they won there.
And then for a while, I mean, especially those first 3 weeks when we went up against Saquon and Derrick Henry, we were top.
Tackles for loss.
Tackles for loss. We were top team in running yards allowed. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is definitely going to be an interesting year. And I'm going to say it top five in those stats. The main thing I'm going to say is top five in overall defense. Like that when they compare the top, you know, top five defense in the NFL.
I think they'll definitely be up there with sacks. And I think if they're there in turnovers, it's because of the additional turnovers created by the linebackers. I don't have the faith the corners are going to do it this year. But I think that the linebackers, if you get a full season out of Devin Bush, Spillane with that much more experience showed the ability to get his hands on the ball and turn it over.
Buddy Johnson with arms that big.
TJ Watt had a weird year last year, a ton of sacks, but not as many forced fumbles as normal.
Yeah.
I expect his forced fumbles to go back up. And Alex Highsmith is a guy that gets his hands on the ball too. I foresee a lot of turnovers with this crew.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be fun. And we got an extra week.
Yeah.
More turnovers.
That's right.
More stats. We're going to be the first team to lead stats in a 16-game season. Or 17-game season, excuse me. It still bugs me. I think it should be even number, but whatever.
Yeah, it's weird. It's real weird, man.
But yeah, I'm going to call it top five defense. So that is what we are looking forward to. Moving on to the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Mason Rudolph got a chance to talk and said that he has a goal of being the Steelers' starting quarterback in 2022, which he should, right? You know, he's the number two quarterback right now. With Pittsburgh giving him an extension that shows they have faith in him.
Yep.
His game in week 17 last year against the Browns was pretty doggone good. Throwing for 300 yards. What was it, like 3 touchdowns and no picks?
Yeah.
Real nice game he put together. So if he can build off of that, there's no reason to think the arrow would not continue pointing upwards for him. With the possibility of him turning into that. You know, I mean, imagine what the team could be if they don't have to draft a quarterback next year. What if you've got your three quarterbacks on the roster already? Haskins, your number two, Dobbs, your three, Mason running the show, and then you're able to use that first-round pick on a corner or a new starting safety opposite Minka.
Here's what I think. I don't think there's any scenario where Pittsburgh drafts a quarterback in the first round next year.
I do.
If you think, what, Ben gets hurt this year, Mason comes in and plays horrible? Is that the scenario?
No. I just think if Ben retires after this year and you either Mason played and didn't look good.
Or he didn't get a chance to play.
If one of those top guys, if there's another class like there was this year where there's like five or six guys that are all considered first round picks and one of them falls to wherever Pittsburgh is picking, I could easily see them taking one just to say, all right, here's our shot. I could see it happening very easily. I think, honestly, that's probably like a plan A, B kind of thing.
Yeah. I foresee this as the way that Pittsburgh has talked about Mason Rudolph, the way that certain things have come out about Dwayne Haskins. Granted, Ben says he looks great, can throw a ball through a car wash without getting it wet. Granted, the fact that the report came out that he's not separating himself from anybody else, I view that a little bit differently than how James views that. I view that as he's not doing anything to stand out, but he's keeping up with them. He's not standing out. He's not doing more. But if you have somebody who is playing anywhere near the talent that they think Mason has played at, then I don't think they can justify going out and drafting a quarterback in the first round because of how much they've already talked up about Mason.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'll draft a quarterback until Mason gets a shot to start a season.
And I think the way I look at it is that everybody knows that Dwayne Haskins has a very, very strong arm. So if he's not separating himself, that means the accuracy is not there because Mason and Josh have pretty decent accuracy. Mason a little more accurate than Josh Dobbs is.
Yeah.
So you figure it's not like Mason's arm got magically stronger and he's now got as strong of an arm as Dwayne Haskins. It's just that he's probably showing the accuracy Haskins is not, so he's not able to separate himself. That's the way I'm looking at it personally.
And it makes sense.
But I'm with you. Yeah, unless something crazy happens, Man, I'd rather see them invest in something else in the first round next year.
I can't say that I wouldn't, but I just, my fear is that we invest somewhere else. Again, I'm not saying I think we draft a first-round quarterback next year. That's not what I'm saying at all. No. I'm just saying I wanted to make sure that Pittsburgh has a decent quarterback starting that can keep up with the talent we have on the team. That was what happened when Ben came in. When Ben came in, there was talent on the team, and Ben took advantage of it.
Yeah.
I don't want there to be the talent that we have. I think of our wide receiver room, our running back room stacked. Now with Najee, stacked. Our tight end room right now.
Stacked.
It's incredible. And I don't even when we had Bell, Brown, and Big Ben, that was granted, nothing ever happened from that. We never got a Super Bowl appearance. We never got a Super Bowl win with those three. I just personally think that.
But they were always injured in the playoffs.
Correct.
The playoffs came around and you were either minus Bell or you were minus Brown or sometimes both of them.
Correct.
So it's tough to even hold that against that trio because it was just bad luck and health sometimes. Yes. Yeah.
But I think with the wide receiver core we have now, especially if we keep Juju, we still have Deontay for, what, 2 more years? We have Claypool for at least three more years. Yeah. We have Pat Freiermuth now for probably 5 years. Najee Harris for probably 5 years. There's too much talent on the offense to not have a good quarterback.
And I got to put this out there. I think that even though Pittsburgh has not shown the high round investment in the offensive line, they have shown a commitment to investing in the offensive line.
And they've been hitting late.
Third and fourth round, over and over and over, they keep on doing this, right? Chooks was a third round pick. You had Zach Banner, even though he wasn't our pick, he was a fourth round pick.
Yep.
Dotson, a fourth round pick. This year, Green, a third round pick. Moore, a fourth round pick.
Dotson over started 349 stats last year and didn't allow a sack.
That's fantastic. You never know when you're going to hit on some of these guys. I mean, we were diving into some information on Okorafor because somebody was talking recently on another podcast about how he was one of those guys that came out with a really good arm length, right? So we pulled it up. We were curious. You know, this isn't something that we looked at when he got drafted. He had 34.5-inch long arms. That's really good.
Very good.
This is a really favorable thing for him moving over to the left-hand side, which that's in our news notes here as well, that he hinted that he's going to get a chance to start at the left side before working over to the right-hand side. And we're all for it because he's got the stereotypical size, a 6'6", 320 with 34.5-inch long arms. I thought last year he looked good in pass protection, honestly. It's just that he didn't drive people off the ball in the run game, and now it's kind of looking like the coaching was telling him not to be aggressive and just kind of get in the way and stay there. I'd like to see him with a little nasty, with the opportunity to actually be physical and a coach that's telling him, hey, go get him.
Yeah, I can't agree more with that at all. And I think that, you know, if you get that nastiness, as you like to call it, the nasty, if you get that, the running back room now with Najee Harris, the running holes, even if they're there or not there, Najee's going to find a way to get some yards. And if you have that nasty up front, that's going to be the new term we're using all year long.
Let me see the nasty.
There's going to be some good runs this year, and that could open up God knows what for Ben in the passing game.
And just give Najee one-on-ones, man. Just give him one-on-ones with defenders. That's all you need to do. Block it up well enough that he only has one guy that he's got to make miss or run over.
He's going to go over him or through him.
Yeah.
Or around him.
Because he runs people over, he makes a miss, and he jumps over him. He does it all. I like his chances with one-on-ones with linebackers, even defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Because he's probably too slippery for most defensive linemen. But yeah, I think there's a little bit more potential in this offensive line than maybe a lot of folks are looking at. And I'm starting to get a little more optimistic as time goes on here with it.
Yeah.
Other news on this, BJ Finney
expects to start week one.
He thinks he's going to have a good chance to start in week one. Now, granted, he's in the battle with rookie center Kendrick Green. So we'll see how that plays out in the preseason. I wouldn't be surprised if Kendrick Green does win the job. But I like seeing BJ Finney confident. Mm-hmm. I like seeing him having his hopes up. Even if he doesn't win that job, I want to see him keep his chin up, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to be a very important part of this offense this year, regardless of whether or not you win that starting job. Because even if BJ Finney doesn't win the starting job, you expect him to be a top backup.
Yeah, because then you also have J.C. Hostenhauer there as well.
Yeah, and he is being reported as taking the most snaps at center thus far in the organized team activities. And that, again, I think is probably, put it in context, right? Because J.C. Hasenauer really doesn't translate as that menacing of a guard, as to where both B.J. Finney and Kevin Green have resumes playing guard and have looked good playing guard.
Yep.
So I think you want to make sure both of those guys can play that in a pinch, because if Finney starts, then you want Green to be that first guy off the bench at guard and center, not just at center, and the same vice versa, right? You want Finney to be the first guy off the bench, center and guard.
Yep.
And really, you don't want Hasenauer playing guard at all.
No, not at all. But speaking of putting things in context, Devin Bush recently had an interview and talked about how he's feeling up to 100%. He's doing his cuts. He's doing all the route running. He even said that he is more than prepared to guard Jarvis Landry in the passing game.
That's right.
To put that in context.
he was asked, do you think you can cover Jarvis Landry? And he said, 100% I can. 100%.
And that was an immediate reference to last year when Pittsburgh was playing, you know, zone defense or whatever defense they came out in.
Yep.
And Cleveland kept audibling and putting us in a formation where it was always Robert Spillane guarding Jarvis Landry. Robert Spillane wasn't quite agile enough or fast enough to keep up with Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
That's just how it was.
Yep.
Devin Bush is. Devin Bush is fast enough, is agile enough.
And not to mention, Devin Bush showed even his rookie year the intelligence to just kind of call an audible within the defense. We noted very early in the season, his rookie year, that a running back went in motion, went all the way to the sideline, and instead of covering the slot, which was his assignment, he pushed the corner inside on the slot receiver, and he went out to the running back. That's the kind of thing that we want to see. He's got the intelligence to do it and that superior athleticism that you just don't see from middle linebackers. I mean, 4.42, 4.43, 40, was it? I mean, that's incredible. That's faster than most wide receivers.
Yeah, and I even talked to a Browns fan once after that. I don't think I ever mentioned this on the show or to you, which is going to might fire you up. I talked to somebody who was obviously a Browns fan, and they're like, why didn't your guy do what he was supposed to do? And I said, because our guy has the IQ and understanding of football that what he was supposed to do was bad in that situation.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
That's absolutely football IQ.
It's the same reason that in the Super Bowl against the Cardinals, James Harrison did not blitz the quarterback when he was told to.
Yep.
Because he knew he wouldn't get there in time. He hadn't got there in time the whole game. The ball was coming out too fast. So he dropped in and covered what was the slant that would have been a touchdown and turned into a touchdown for Pittsburgh instead. Sometimes the player's intelligence and instincts goes past what the play call is, and you just have to let him be that intelligent player.
And if football IQ didn't matter, you wouldn't hear it talked about as much as it is when you talk about prospects coming out of college. Football IQ is understanding football in the realm of what play is called and what you can do to affect that play.
Yeah.
Period.
And what is most likely to come and what it feels like and the rhythm of the game. I mean, Troy Polamalu built an entire career off of instincts.
Yeah. Dick LeBeau never told him to blitz. He just did it when he felt like it.
Yeah. I'm sure there was once or twice it was a called play.
Maybe.
But most of the time, it was just Troy following his instincts and blowing plays up and causing turnovers. It's just what he did. You got to let guys like that are superior players, just follow their instincts, and Devin Bush has it. It's going to be so exciting to have him on the field again. He looked so good his rookie year, man.
He did.
Holy cow, he was a turnover machine.
He did. I still dream of the day that's never going to come where it would be Devin Bush and Ryan Shazier.
Granted,
we wouldn't have got Devin Bush if we still had Ryan Shazier. But still, that combination would have been the most... It probably would have been the top two... the number one middle linebacker class ever.
They would be talking about that versus Jack Lambert and Jack Ham.
Yep.
That's where they'd be talking about it. Because that was the kind of impact those guys had in the 70s. Both of them had almost 30 interceptions in their careers. A lot of starting corners don't get to 30 interceptions in their careers. These middle linebackers had 30. I think one was 28, one was 29. I think Ham had one more than Lambert.
Yeah, we'll take those numbers.
Holy cow. Yeah, just incredible. Also, a little bit of insight on this offensive line. We're talking a lot of offensive line this week.
We do. We're going back and forth. We're trying to keep it mixed up a little bit.
David DeCastro has not been for a lot of OTAs, not practicing. And I'm not abnormal at all. Being a veteran, a lot of times they take some time off this time of year, let their bodies heal up a little bit more. But with him not in there, Rashad Coward has actually been running with the first team at right guard, which we did not see this coming.
No. This was not depicted to us in any way, shape, or form as a possibility, but it is here.
So this has given us a little bit of insight as to maybe how those lineups are going, how the depth chart is actually looking. And both making both of us think twice about our predictions of Aviante Collins making the team. Because it looks like maybe Rashad Coward is running ahead of him right now. So we're going to be keeping a close eye on that battle for sure. Because the depth at interior offensive line might shake out a little different than we were predicting there.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to keep an eye on that as we enter into, not training camp coming up mini a little camp. Bit, but mini camp being mini next camp. Week.
Starts tomorrow, actually.
Tomorrow. Wow.
Tomorrow, the 15th, Tuesday. There's going to be a lot of good information on Steelers.com, on their app. They're going to be reporting live during mini camp for those 3 days. Now, there's only so much they're going to be allowed to talk about during it, but you better believe they're going to be interviewing as many players as they can to try to get them to say things so that they can report on what the player has said about what has happened at the camp that they want to talk about because they've seen it with their own eyes. So very interesting to see. Quincy Roche, Cody, did you see what he said?
Yeah, Quincy Roche said in a interview, and he was quoted saying, I don't want to do word for word quote, but he was just talking about how when it comes to football, sometimes it's not about the number of sacks. He said sacks are very important. But sometimes it's all about being disruptive. It's about those tackles for loss, those tackles on special teams, the forced fumble here and there. It's all about being disruptive. And that is the mentality that so many great Steelers players that we can think of, they started with that mentality and they became big Steelers names. James Harrison was that kind of guy.
Yeah, huge on
special
teams. Joey
Porter was that kind of guy.
How many fullbacks, too, now that I think about it?
Yeah.
I didn't talk about this pre-show, but I mean, Will Johnson ends up making the team because he blocks a field goal in the preseason. Same with
Rosie Nix.
Rosie Nix blocks a punt in the preseason, ends up making the team. I couldn't tell you how many times in the preseason a fullback ends up blocking a punt and making the team.
Yep. Derek Watt is on our team. One, because he's a Watt brother, but two, because
he's really good on special teams.
Very good on special teams. The fact that Quincy Roche understands that makes me a million times more exciting to watch him.
Yeah.
Because I know he's not going to start over Alex Highsmith, but he is going to be disruptive.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
I believe that his energy will be very high. He feels like he has a lot to prove. I think everyone thought he was going to be drafted before the sixth round. Most folks had him third or fourth round, so Pittsburgh getting him in the sixth, just an absolute steal in the way he's got such good hand usage. That's one of those things that translates. Like accuracy in a quarterback, hand usage on a pass rusher translates because that offensive lineman can't keep his hands on you if you're keeping your hands active and good at swiping those offensive linemen's hands away. So we're real high on the potential of Quincy Roche, and preseason could be really exciting for number 48.
I am 90% sure I'm going to go to a preseason game just because I know the tickets will be cheap and it will be worth going to watch these players. So, James, if you want to go with me.
Dude, if it's cheap enough and I'm going the next morning.
I'm going. I will be going to. I can't remember what game I'm going to, but I talked about it with a friend of mine, and we're for sure going to be going to at least one. And I think I'll probably stop at one, but that's fine. Going back to Devin Bush talk, more specifically with his relationship with Robert Spillane.
Yeah. Turns out these guys have quite a relationship. They're really bonding over the last year playing together.
You know what it reminds me of?
Go ahead.
It reminds me of Ryan Shazier and Vince Williams.
Yeah, shake and bake.
Shake and bake, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. Spillane a little bit more of a thumper, you would think, but Bush did come out of college with that reputation of being one of the heaviest hitters in all of college football. So Spillane is really excited about the opportunity to play side-by-side with Devin Bush for a lot of games. He didn't really get the opportunity last year before Bush went down early in the season with an injury. So this year, God willing, of course, hopefully both of them will be healthy and get a chance to see two really pretty athletic guys. I mean, honestly, Spillane's a lot more athletic than folks thought he was.
I will admit that I was wrong about Spillane.
Yeah, he's much more athletic than we thought he was. And the guy is really got a lot of potential. Good head on his shoulders. We saw the power when he stopped Derrick Henry.
Where he almost lost his shoulders that head is on.
The intelligence when making the interception on Lamar Jackson and the ability to drop in coverage. So there's a lot of potential here. These two could really develop into a pretty pretty dangerous 1-2 punch. So mini camp starting tomorrow. We should have a lot of updates for you guys on next week's episode.
And next week's episode is actually not even going to be next week. We are going to be recording at the end of this week. So we will be recording Friday. So expect that to either drop Saturday, late Friday night or Saturday morning. Be looking for that episode. And we may go into a Friday recording or may come back to stick with a Monday recording. It just kind of depends. That's something James and I are going to discuss this week to let you guys know that ahead of time. So
look for an update on our Facebook page.
Yeah,
we'll let you know. That way you know when to expect our new one, whether we continue on Fridays or go right back to Monday. It won't be a Friday and then we record 2 days later. It'll be like 9 or 10 days later when we record on the following Monday when we do that.
Yep. So again, we can't thank you guys enough for the follows, the likes, the shares, the 5-star reviews. Mr. Nick Pretzel, thank you again for that. We just can't thank the Steelers by the Lake family enough. Remember, be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.